Well, good morning, and welcome. Excuse me. We're glad to be here this morning. I understand the search team lost me for a while, but like a bad penny, I came back, so. First of all, when it comes to missions, Dan and Marcia and our support of them, it really does work both ways. This church has been very faithful in missions, and we are so excited to see how faithful and how committed you are to your missionaries. But our missionaries, Dan and Marcia in particular, have been very good at communicating with us. Every week we'd get some kind of communication from Dan and Marcia. At least once email was a reality. Before that time, I think it was a little more difficult to communicate that regularly. But knowing what was going on and every week having an update and how to pray for them and what their needs are was really, really helpful. And so we thank them for making it easier for us as a sending church to be in touch with them, to know what's going on, and to be able to support them in our prayers. Just a little report on last weekend. I was up in Maine at East Benton Christian Church. Dan Bikin is the pastor there. How many of you remember Dan? Dan and Diana? Yeah, okay, several of you. They were missionaries that we had supported. They served in Ecuador for a few years, I think two terms down there. And the Lord called them home, back to Maine. Maine is their home, and he's in East Benton. And growing up, he was in the church in Knox, where I had pastored. And he lived kind of between, in Albion, that's where he grew up, that's between Knox and East Benton. So a lot of the people that he's ministering to, he knows. A lot of farmers, and he's a farmer, so he really fits in, and he is an evangelist, and we could see that just how he was sharing and what was going on there and some exciting things. He's seen some elderly people come to know the Lord, and he's just been very excited about how the Lord has been working. So pray for him. The meetings went great. The people were excited to receive the Word of God and excited to hear what God has to say in His Word, and we just felt so privileged to be able to be there and share like that. So thank you for praying. So we weren't just taking time off; we were actually working during our break, and I appreciate being able to do that. All right, let's have prayer, and then we'll get into the Word and this parable in Luke chapter 11. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time of singing, of lifting up our praise to you. Lord, you are an awesome, indescribable God. You are beyond us, beyond our greatest thoughts of you. You are holy. You are separate from your creation. You are creator, not a created being. And you have done wondrous things in your creation. We see that all around us. We see that in the fall colors that we enjoy that have already been mentioned. We'll see that in the winter in the snow that falls. We'll see that in the spring, in the flowers, in the summer, and all the greenery. Lord, you have designed this creation so wonderfully. We are especially grateful and filled with praise for your work in us and your plan of salvation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made physically and spiritually as well in the new birth. We thank you for our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for his gift of salvation. We thank you for his his fulfilling the wrath of God, satisfying it fully as he hung on the cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. It's incredible that you would place your son in that position, Father, and that you would allow him to suffer as he did, just so that we could be set free from our sin and so that you could forgive us and give us new life. Help us never to take that for granted and never to presume upon your forgiveness. Father, we also just thank you this morning for Dan and Marcia. Thank you for the years of faithful service and commitment to you. Thank you, Lord, for those lives that have been touched by them. People who have heard the message, some for the first time, because Dan and Marcia were there to bring it. And so, Lord, I just ask for your blessing upon them and in this next phase of their life, that you would use them effectively, and may they be a blessing on many here as they were a blessing on many in Africa. So, Lord, we commit them to you. And thank you that the Marines were able to be here. Thank you that they're willing to take this trip. And thank you for the mission that they represent, that is concerned about their missionaries and keeping that connection with the sending church. So, Lord, thank you for these things. And especially this morning, we thank you for your word and the time that we're able to spend in it. We ask for your blessing on this message. Help us to hear your word and to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not sure what's with my voice this morning. Hopefully it'll get stronger as I go along here. We want to speak about the parable of the persistent friend. We read that this morning in our scripture reading. Persistence is a subject in the Bible, and it's encouraged and commanded in Scripture that we be persistent, and it's done in different ways. For instance, the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is faith or faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." We're all stewards of what God has given us. We don't own anything. Technically, we don't own anything. It's all temporary. We're stewards, and it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, faithfulness takes persistence. You're not faithful by starting out strong and then giving up along the way. You're faithful when you're persistent and you continue on and you don't give up. Several times in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus speaks of those who overcome as being the ones who enjoy the promised blessings of God. A couple of times he mentions that as he's speaking to the churches in the first few chapters. In Revelation 2, verse 7, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." In other words, I promise him heaven, because that's where the tree of life will be. And then verse 11, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." In other words, he will have eternal life. So there is a persistence involved in salvation. There is a continuing on, a not giving up, and a not quitting involved in our faith in the Lord. And there are several other times in the book of Revelation where that theme is mentioned, and to each church that's mentioned. Now, obviously, to overcome requires persistence. persistence and perseverance through difficulties, opposition, weakness, or uncertainty, that we stay on track and we don't give up, we don't quit. Now, many of you like me are Patriot fans. I've been a Patriot fan since the 60s, and we went through some very hard years, like 2-14. But the last 20 years have been great. Amen? Yeah. And the one thing that's been great about the Patriots, that really stands out about the Patriots, is that they persevere. They're persistent. And it's brought about a consistency. And probably the way we've seen that the most was in their win in Super Bowl 51. When they came back from, what was it, 25 points?
28-3.
Thank you very much. And he's not necessarily a Patriots fan. And they only had a quarter and a half to do it. That was incredible. But that persistence of continuing on, don't give up, don't quit, keep going. And I think that's what we have come to enjoy in watching them. Well, spiritually, persistence, perseverance is very, very important part of our life. Now, here in Luke 10, Jesus gives us a parable about that. But the chapter begins with the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so Jesus instructs them about prayer. He gives them what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, he tells them to address their prayers to their Heavenly Father, who is holy, who is set apart from his creation. We sang about that this morning. Indescribable. We are to seek in our prayers, we are to seek his kingdom, that is his control. We are to ask for his will to be done. We are to ask him for our daily food. We are to ask for forgiveness for our sins. We are to ask to be led away from temptation and to be delivered from the devil, from the evil one. The prayer that Jesus gives, this model prayer, centers around God. It centers around the one, the exalted one, the only one who can provide all our needs, both physically and spiritually. And it also reminds us of our own weaknesses and our own needs that only God can provide. Now, when he concludes that prayer, then he speaks two parables. We're going to look at the first one this morning. And these two parables have to do with prayer. So the context is important here. The first one that we're going to look at this morning is instructing us to pray boldly with perseverance. So when we bring our request to the Lord, we are to be bold in our requests, but we're also to continue on in our request and not give up and not faint and not quit in our prayers. So this parable begins with the request to a friend in verses 5 and 6. Jesus says here, which of you shall have a friend? This is verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. Now, the first thing I want you to consider is an inconvenient time. An inconvenient time. This guy's coming at midnight. This certainly would be a test of friendship. You know, there are a lot of hours in the day when the request that he has would have been received and answered gladly, but midnight wasn't one of them. Now, for most of us, the only thing we want to do at midnight is sleep Any of you with me there? Yeah. This man explains that the friend who was requested of this one who came, he explained that everyone in the house is asleep. Children are there in bed with me. They're asleep. Although they were friends, the timing seemed rather unreasonable to be making this kind of request. Next, I want you to consider an unexpected need. His request is this: friend, lend me 3 loaves. And it arises out of his own lack of bread and the unexpected arrival of visitors. Now, we don't usually get too many visitors at midnight. Especially not visitors that we're not expecting. But in Israel at that time, first century, it's not like it is today. You know, today, people could communicate and let us know they're coming. I mean, now with cell phones, well, we're about an hour out. Be there in 10 minutes. So all these things can be communicated very readily. Well, there were no phones. There was no computers and emails. I'm sure the mail system was probably not as dependable as ours. And so if a visitor is coming, you may not have any clue that they're coming until they arrive. There are no hotels for them to stay in like we would have today. The inns that were there were notorious places and not very safe. And so most Jewish travelers traveling in Israel would stay with family or friends along the way. And you never knew when someone may show up, family or friend needing a place to stay. So hospitality was very important in Israel. Now they come traveling at night because in the hot season, traveling at night is the best time to travel. It's cooler. So here it is at midnight. This friend showed up to find lodging while on his journey. Maybe he had a family with him. And this put this host in a predicament. There were no 24-hour grocery stores or convenience stores that were open. They could just run down the road and pick up some food and some bread and take care of these men, or this person that's come. And but for us, even if the stores were closed, we probably wouldn't wake up our neighbor to borrow some food at midnight. I don't think you'd expect me to call you at midnight and say, hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. Can I come over and get them? This wasn't a physical emergency. There was not some danger taking place, a fire or something like that. But in the culture, it was a social emergency because hospitality was so important. It was very important. And he had nothing to set before his visitors. That's strange to us as well. I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life when in our house we didn't have some food. Right? And bread. Very rarely are we without bread of some sort. Just a different culture, a different time. And apparently, this social emergency in the mind of this man who was the host, who's where the visitors showed up, It was important enough for him to wake up his neighbor at midnight so he could feed these unexpected guests. So here he is at midnight, knocks on his neighbor door, wakes him up for 3 loaves of bread. All right, so number 2 is the request to a friend. Number 1, the request to a friend. Number 2 is the reluctance of the friend. Now this I can relate to. And he will answer you from within. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't help you. I cannot help you. What you're asking me to do is too much trouble. This is the worst possible time for you to come to me and ask me for these loaves of bread. The door is shut. If I get up and open the door, it's going to disturb the whole family. My children are in bed. I don't want the kids to wake up. Can you relate to that? Don't want the kids to wake up. They're sound asleep. And if they wake up, they're going to be hard to get back to sleep again. And then we'll be up all night. You can relate to that, right? Especially you with little kids. And then any of you that have can still remember back that far when you had little kids in your home. And so here's this poor neighbor who everything was nice and peaceful and quiet in his home. And this man comes with his request. And besides which, he could be disturbing the neighbors, you know, not just his own children. I cannot help. And basically, he says, I will not help. I cannot rise and give to you. I can't do it. I can't do what you request. My answer is no. I will not rise and I will not give you bread. So what's implied here is go home and leave me alone. Now, I can relate to this. I don't like being awakened at midnight for something that is not planned or not an emergency. Can any of you relate to me there? Okay, one or two. So I'll know that I can wake you up at midnight. The rest of you who didn't raise your hand. And it won't bother you. Good, good. That's good to know. I'll pass that on when you get a new pastor. Point number 3. The results of persistence. This is the main point here. All right, so we're going to camp here for a little while. The results of persistence. Friendship is not enough. I say to you, beginning of verse 8, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend. It wasn't enough that they were friends. That friendship was not enough to get this man up, to disturb him and possibly disturb his whole family, to give the host this food. So in other words, the relationship between them was not enough for this man to put himself out like that, to help him. And it's wonderful to have friends. And it's wonderful to be a friend. But all of us know kind of intuitively that there are certain limits, that things that are proper or not proper that are expected from friends. I think this man who's in his home, sleep, been wakened, didn't think this was proper. It wasn't reasonable. And so even though they were friends, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to get this man up to get this first man the food that he wanted. But notice, persistence is enough. The end of verse 8. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs because of his persistence. He's teaching about prayer here. Keep that in mind. This man coming with his request wouldn't give up. He wouldn't be turned away. He was determined to get bread for his friend who had come to him at midnight. And he wouldn't leave his neighbor's home until he had that bread. And because he was so persistent, it wouldn't take no for an answer, he finally got this man out of bed. This man opened the door and gave him the bread. Now, I don't know if the children woke up. Maybe they woke up because of this man's persistence. I don't know. And he figured that, okay, we're going to be more disturbed if he keeps this up than if I get up and give him the bread. Whatever his reasoning was, he got up and gave him the bread. So he's teaching about prayer. And what happens in this parable is that this man persisted until he received the answer to his request. This is Jesus' main point in the parable. All the rest of it is just kind of put in there to make a story. But it all comes to this point. This is what he wants us to hear. This is what he wants us to understand. And so this is where we need to put our emphasis. We need to persist in our prayers. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, oh, I've prayed for this for so long, and it just seems like the Lord hasn't heard me, or he's not interested in answering. And so we come to promise to the persistent, verses 9 and 10. So Jesus kind of gives an application now to the parable. He says, so I say to you, this is verse 9, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now in that verse is implied persistence. In other words, you ask and you seek and you knock. So don't give up just by asking, and don't give up just by seeking. Continue on to knocking. In other words, there's a persistence here of coming to God with our prayers. This is a promise that Jesus is giving, and this promise is the second time this appears in the Gospels. The first time is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. In Jesus' first sermon. So this took place before this account here in Luke, where Jesus says in verse 7, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So not only is this promise in the Bible, but it appears twice from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises this to his disciples. So if we are his disciples, then we have a promise from him concerning prayer. This is an invitation to pray. And with this invitation to ask, to seek, to knock, is a promise that God hears. You'll find what you're seeking, and what you're knocking will be open to you. God is not reluctant to answer. But he's encouraging here bold, persevering prayers. Prayers that aren't just fluff. They aren't just, you know, I'll be nice to have a new car. Need a new dress. Now, those things are okay, but the things that we really, really persist in are ones that are more heartfelt. Praying for our children. or maybe another family member who's lost and needs Christ. Or when it seems that everything is well, like with the COVID and all that went on there, I'm sure there were some persistent prayers. Many of you were praying for church to open up. We couldn't wait for church to open up again. The Psalms are filled with prayers that are bold and sometimes even a little bit brash as they're making their requests to God. And the reason that they are bold and brash and persistent is because these men were in desperate straits. Look at Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3. We've got several here I want you to see. Listen to what they're saying. Give ear to my words, O Lord. In other words, God, hear me. Now, why would you say that to God? God, hear me. Normally, you'd say that to God because it feels like God's not hearing you. It feels like God's not listening. You haven't received an answer yet. And so the psalmist is saying, hear me, God, hear me. Don't shut your ear to me, but hear me, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to my voice. Listen to my voice. Listen to my cry. You're my King and my God, for to you I will pray. And God, listen. Especially, Lord, listen in the morning. I'm going to be crying to you in the morning. Listen to me as I cry to you, as I begin the day, because I know how much I need you through the day. And in the morning, I'll direct it to you, and I will look up. There's a desperation there. There's a boldness there before God, telling God what to do, if you will. Hear me. Not how to answer it, just hear me, because I know you'll answer it in the right way. Psalm 17:1, hear a just cause. Lord, I'm not asking you for something that is wrong or something that is evil or something just to fulfill my lusts. I am asking you for a just cause, for justice. So hear me. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. God, hear me. Over and over again in the Psalm. Psalm 27:7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. I want you to hear me because, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. I can't survive without your mercy. Psalm 55:1-2. Give ear to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, O God. And do not hide yourself from my supplication. Now, you see how this applies to what was going on in the parable? When this man first came to his neighbor, the neighbor was reluctant. Now, God's not reluctant, but sometimes it feels like God's hiding from us. It feels like he's not really listening. It feels like our prayers are not going anywhere. Have you ever felt that way with your prayer life? If you pray much, you have felt that. You have felt that. So what are we supposed to do at times like that? We're supposed to be like the psalmist. God, don't hide from me. That's what they said. Don't you go hiding on me, God. Attend to me. And hear me. I'm restless in my complaint, and moan noisily. Do you hear this, God? Do you hear me complaining? Do you hear my complaint? Do you hear my moans? Don't hide from that, God. I need you. Psalm 102:1-2. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come before you. How many times has this been mentioned in these Psalms? Cry, my cry, my cry. again, a sense of desperation, a need for God. And again, do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. I need an answer, and I need an answer soon, God. I need an answer soon. Psalm 143:1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Notice that this kind of caps it off. What is he saying here? God, I come to you with my prayers and asking you to hear me and give ear to me because you're faithful. And because you're righteous. And I'm not asking anything that is against your righteousness. What I'm asking is according to your righteousness. And so according to your righteousness, answer me. According to your faithfulness, answer me. Hear me. These are desperate, bold prayers that are holding God to his promise and are also almost demanding God to hear and answer their prayer. And this is in the scriptures. This is how they prayed. This is how these psalmists prayed. And maybe one reason that God brought them through the trouble that they went through was so that they would record their prayers in the Psalms so that we could read them and understand we're not the first ones to go through trouble. We're not the first ones to feel like God's hiding from us and he's not hearing us. That this is an experience that God's people have had throughout the ages. And that part of the reason for that is because God wants us to persist in our prayers. He wants us to continue on in our prayers. Because part of the prayer and answer to prayer are the lessons that he's teaching us through that. And he wants us to learn to persevere and not give up as we're praying. You have people that you've been praying for? Some of you have been, I know. You've been praying for people for years. Years and years. And sometimes it feels like, God, you're not doing anything. But you don't know that. Because you can't see what God's doing often. Because what God does, he does on the inside. And then sometimes it starts showing up on the outside, but sometimes it just stays on the inside for a while, and we just can't see it. We just don't know what's happening. Well, don't give up in your prayers. You don't know what God's doing. You don't know how he's preparing people. And so persist in your prayers. If you feel like God's listening, then tell him to hear your prayers. It's okay. If the psalmist can do it, you can do it. If you feel like he's hiding from you, you can tell him, God, don't hide from me. It's okay. The psalmist did it. You can be bold and confident in your prayers. Did God promise if we ask, that we'll receive? If we seek, we'll find? If we'll knock, it'll be open to us? Did he mean it? Okay. Now, we do need to understand, and I skipped over a reference here. Maybe I need to back up a little bit. We'll get to that. We'll understand part in a minute. Moses in Exodus 33. This was right after the golden calf incident. And things weren't good. Israel had so quickly departed from their commitment to follow the Lord. And you know, they made the golden calf and they worshiped the golden calf, and Moses came down from the mountain and there was a judgment that took place, and God was telling Moses, he said, all right, Moses, I want you to get up from here. It's time to go, but I'm not going with you. Exodus 33:3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. He said, I am angry with you. My wrath has been kindled against you. And if I go up with you, this people are not going to survive. Verse 12. Listen to Moses. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, God said to send an angel, but there are lots of angels. Didn't know whom God would send with them. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. You know what Moses is doing here? He's reminding God of his promises. He's reminding God of what he has said to him. He's reminding him of his own word. So Moses is saying to God, God, you say you know me by name, and you say I found grace in your sight. So, because of that, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. You have said that, God. This nation is your people. Moses basically is saying, God, I don't want to go anywhere unless it's your way, unless you're leading the way. Don't lead these people out of here. Don't tell me to go anywhere unless you're going to lead the way and lead us out. That was a prayer of desperation because Moses knew he didn't have the wherewithal to lead this people if the Lord was not with him. And the Lord heard that prayer. And the Lord showed mercy on the nation of Israel. They didn't deserve it, but neither do we deserve the mercy of God. So the promise that he gives here is everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks shall be opened to him, verse 10. But I want you to also understand here from James chapter 4, end of verse 2 and verse 3, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So it's important for us to ask and to persist. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Notice in these Psalms, often it was said, you know, this I have a just cause or for your name or any of those things that relate to God, you're righteous and faithful. The psalmists were coming with requests that honored God, not requests to satisfy my lusts, my fleshly desires. If you're asking simply to satisfy your fleshly desires, don't expect to have an answer. That's what James is saying here. But if you come with a legitimate request that has to do with God's glory and God's honor and what honors and pleases him, God's going to hear that. And he's promised to answer. So, right now, where you are, what are you requesting from God right now? Don't say it out loud, but what are you requesting of God? Is it a righteous request? Something that you could not fulfill yourself? So, in other words, there's no plan B. If God doesn't come through, then nothing's going to happen. I can't do this myself, and I can't come up with some other option. And it may be also that, well, maybe there is another option, but I don't want any other option. I want God's will. We have experienced that here. We've been praying for God's will in finding a new pastor. And how many of you have been praying? There you go. So have I. Still praying, right? Still persisting. And what's the one request we have in common is your will be done. We want God's will to be done. Above everything else, we want God's will to be done. And so we can be bold and confident in holding God to his promise to hear and answer, right? He's going to answer. And we can trust in that. For Bim and I, we've been praying about retirement and what to do and all these other things. And we're trusting God for his timing in that. It's not a burden for us to be here. You folks are a joy to us. And we delight in the fellowship we have here. But we're not retiring to get away from you. But we just have come to the place where we feel this is time for us to step down from this position of head pastor, lead pastor, but not from ministry. So what have we had to do in our prayers? We've had to persevere. We've had to persist in our prayers, haven't we? There have been ups and downs in this journey. And we haven't known what's coming next. Only God did. But looking back, we could see the wisdom of God and how he has led. I think that as we look back, for instance, with all that took place with COVID-19 and the shutdown and all the rest of it, it was actually good for the church and for us to be here, to come through that together. Because I knew you and I knew who to tap into for whatever we needed and knew how to work together and knew whether we could open up or not and what your mindset was. And so that was good. God knows. God knows what we need. And God knows the right timing for all of this. And so we need to be confident in that. Now, I must admit that I have been a little biased toward Dave. I would really like to see him here. I think he'd be Dave Golden. I think he'd be a great fit here. And I've been praying that way. But God knows, because I want his will to be done more than my own will. But when it comes to persistent prayers, I think one thing that comes out in all the prayers that we read from the Psalms is a desperation for God. They knew they needed him, and they were desperate for God. I think probably the greatest weakness in modern American Christianity is our lack of desperation for God. And because we lack a desperation for God, we lack that tenacity, that persistence to continue on in our prayers and to asking God and to seeking his will. That we want God to answer. We want God to work. We want God's will to be done. Because it is that desperation that leads to bold, persistent prayers. So let's be desperate for God. And I think if we're desperate for God, we won't be desperate for anything else. Because he's enough. Amen. He's enough. He's enough. So let's pray with that desperation. And let's not give up until he answers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this parable, the persistent friend, and how he wouldn't give up. but continued on until his request was granted. May that be true of us. Father, we all have requests that we've been bringing before God. And I believe that the ones that are most desperately on our hearts are loved ones praying for their needs, especially their spiritual needs. Father, hear our prayers. Don't hide from us, but hear us. You've promised that if we ask, we'll receive. If we knock, seek, we'll find. If we knock, it'll be opened to us. So, Lord, we hold you to that promise. And we trust in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.